On today's episode of Relative Currency.
I can think of one specific client who came to me specifically just to work on a scarcity mindset. She realized that she was an attending physician and that she had money, but that she was essentially afraid to spend it or wouldn't allow herself to spend it in some ways. And that she had been raised in true poverty. I mean, where she did not have enough food to eat. And she did not want to have that scarcity mindset be passed down to her children.
Brother, sister, and cousin, we've been relatives for a while. We're chatting about financial things. We're doing it family style. Cryptocurrency, stocks, and loans. Financial literacy. It'll be that and so much more on Relative Currency.
You are listening to Relative Currency, fine-tuning financial literacy for the middle class.
And now the conclusion of our interview with Dr. Elisa Zhong.
But I remember those same friends were talking about doing a ski vacation in Vail, Colorado. Like, that would probably cost a lot more than going to Ecuador, to be honest. I mean, I don't know what they spend or, what their means were. But, I just think it's all about perspective. And, right, there is a bit of enjoying life now, but, still saving for the future and investing for that future. And then the other question you asked, so I went to fellowship directly after residency. Yeah, so I did not work as an attending. I didn't have an attending income until I finished.
I imagine the discipline that you had, after such long training served you well, because I believe that I have read in one of your biographies that you actually were able to achieve millionaire status just 3 years out of training. Am I right?
Yes, that is correct.
Well, congratulations. I mean, that's wonderful. I was wondering, how in your Grow Your Wealthy Mindset coaching business, is how much of it is dedicated towards the financial aspects of your clients' lives? How is that balanced with other elements that may need to come together for them to make healthy financial decisions?
So the great thing about one-on-one coaching is that it's personalized coaching. So it all depends on what the client wants to get out of the coaching relationship. So I've had clients, I can think of one specific client who came to me specifically just to work on a scarcity mindset. She realized that she was an attending physician and that she had money, but that she was essentially afraid to spend it or wouldn't allow herself to spend it in some ways. And that she had been raised in true poverty. I mean, where she did not have enough food to eat. And she did not want to have that scarcity mindset be passed down to her children. So, in her terms, we really just worked on the mindset of thoughts around money. And our thoughts about money are really developed from our childhood, right? What our parents say about money, what our teachers said about money, what our childhood friends said about money, what our childhood friend parents said about money. It all starts building from there. And then as we go along the process, during medical school, what our attendings are saying about money. And the world of, I think, finances for physicians 20, 30 years ago is drastically different than I think it is now. I've had other clients where, they have been investing in stocks and bonds and they're good with that, but they are now interested in maybe branching out and doing something different with their investments, maybe looking at real estate. They're not sure what they want to do. And I have other clients who are finding themselves in, still significant debt, including their student loans, and they just want to know how to tackle that.
Excellent. I have a question since you mentioned stocks and bonds. I actually, was so impressed. I neglected to mention in the intro, the way that I had the pleasure of making your acquaintance was at the White Coat Investor Conference of 2024. And you were a featured speaker and gave a very educational talk on bonds. And I believe that even though everybody's heard the terms stocks and bonds, that I think the average person probably has a moderately better conception of what a stock is and what that means versus how bonds fit into investing. And so I'm interested if you could share kind of like a 1,000-foot perspective on how bonds fit into the average investor's portfolio and kind of how they should look at bonds in terms of investing.
Yeah, happy to. So if you really zoom out, all investments, you're either investing in the equity side of things or the debt side of things. And so stocks is really equity. So when you buy a stock, you're buying a small piece of a publicly traded company. So when you buy a share of Google stock, you now own a fraction of equity in Google. Now, Google needs to, Google sells a stock in order to raise capital. And at some point they did an IPO, an initial public offering, sold a whole bunch of stock, you know, got the founders, you know, got back a lot of capital, the company itself got a lot of capital. But companies can do other things to get capital. Instead of selling their equity, instead of selling a position in their company, they may actually take on debt. And one of the ways to take on debt is a company can issue a bond. So when you invest from the debt standpoint, you are lending money to either a company or to the government or to somebody else. And in return for lending that money, you are going to get back interest payments, and then eventually you get back principal. So you can kind of think about it like a mortgage. When you buy a house, then or buy any kind of real estate property, you take out a mortgage, and then someone is loaning you money so that you can buy a piece of property, and then you pay interest payments and you know, principal. Usually, you know, with a residential mortgage, you're going to pay some amount of principal interest over time, and then eventually that debt gets paid off. You could have a mortgage that's interest only where you pay interest payments over time. And then at some point, there's going to be a balloon payment where the principal is owed. So bonds are basically the same way, except looking at from like the other side, being the bank. So that's when if you purchase a bond, then you're purchasing an IOU, a debt. And so you are loaning money to whoever you're buying that bond from, and then they're going to give you payments. And with bonds, it's more typical to give just interest payments. And then when the bond matures, then you get the principal, though there are bonds that will pay principal and interest payments over time. So that's really what a bond is. It's a debt instrument.
Thank you so much. That's a really good explanation. Yeah. Again, with Dr. Alicia Zhang, MD, PhD, Grow Your Wealthy Mindset, life coach, physician, all around awesome person, just grateful to hear this information. I guess my question, and I'm a neophyte, I consider in bonds, I do invest a lot of other investing, but I'm woefully ignorant in bonds after hearing that conversation. I feel is there an ETF? What would be the recommended bond for like somebody who's like, yeah, I want to get into bonds. Like, for example, my portfolio is lacking in bonds. What would be a recommendation? I know you're not financial advisor, so this is just a hypothetical. Like, what would be a great way for somebody to get started in bonds who might be lacking that in their portfolio?
Yeah, so one reason to even add bonds into any portfolio is just for additional diversification. So the idea behind having the best thing you want to do for your portfolio is have as much diversification as possible. So if you talk about investing in stocks, you don't necessarily want to be investing a lot of individual stocks. You want to own the entire market. And so that's why we often talk about investing in an index fund that's, you know, total U.S. stock market or the S&P 500 index fund, something with a low expense ratio where you get instant diversification by buying either an ETF or a mutual fund that holds a whole bunch of stocks, right? And that way, you know, some stock prices are going to go up and some are going to go down. And hopefully overall, it goes up and your investment increases. So you can do the same thing with bonds. You can buy a mutual fund or ETF of bonds. And those bonds can So that ETF can be if really well widely diversified over lots of different kinds of bonds, just like you can buy an ETF widely diversified over lots of different stocks, or you can buy a sector. So there are ETFs for stocks. There are just certain sectors, like you could buy just, you know, the tech sector or just a healthcare sector. With bonds, you could just buy like treasury bonds only, short-term treasuries, long-term treasuries, or you could buy corporate bonds, or you could buy a mix of all different bonds. So again, it's all about diversification. And I do want to make the point that the reason why having stocks and bonds is the idea is that you want different asset classes that are not correlated with each other. So if there is a strong correlation, like let's say company A and company B are both strongly correlated. Let me just think, like Pepsi and Coke, right? They're both soda products that, you know, are, some people would say aren't very different from each other, right? So chances are if Pepsi prices or Pepsi stocks going up, Coca-Cola stocks may also go up. That would be something that might be strongly positively correlated. And Pepsi price stocks goes down, Coca-Cola stock prices go down. But, you know, you may have something that's completely uncorrelated, like the price of Coca-Cola and United Airlines, right? Like airline company may have nothing to do with a beverage company. And so those may not be correlated. And you can see like, okay, so the stock of United can go up or down, and that's not going to affect the price of Coca-Cola at all. But if gas prices may actually affect United's prices, right? Because if gas is really high, then United might have less profits because they have to pay a lot for gas for jet fuel. So you can see how different companies can be correlated with each other. Well, so if you have different asset classes that aren't correlated, then that can smooth out your portfolio. So with stocks and bonds, let's say that they aren't very correlated. Well, stocks may go up and then bonds may go down or go up or stay the same. And if stocks go down, bonds may also go up or down or stay the same. And that gives you just more smoothing of the portfolio. So, you know, if you have a drop in your stocks, but your bonds actually go up a little bit, then your entire portfolio doesn't drop as much. It can make you be able to ride out the fluctuations a little easier. And so there's a saying that basically a 80% stock and 20% bond portfolio has about the same return as a 100% stock portfolio, but with less variance. So less of the, you know, big ups and downs.
And I love it.
Yeah. And so if you do want to just, okay, you want a totally simple portfolio, you could have an ETF in the total U.S. stock index fund, and then you could have an ETF or mutual fund in a total U.S. bond market index fund. So Vanguard has a total bond fund, mutual fund, and probably ETF as well that matches that. And that, you know, those two index funds would give you a really large diversified portfolio.
That's great. Audience, listen up. This is the good stuff here. So I wanted to ask you regarding your coaching business, do you have sort of a prototypical client at this time? And whether or not that's the case, is there a kind of targeted audience that you think about wanting to reach as you're, you know, interacting with the public via social media, et cetera? Is it more physicians? Is it Ohioans? Just curious, do you have that as part of your vision for your coaching business, that it will attract a certain clientele?
So it's definitely not Ohioans because I coach online, so it can be anyone across the country. I think it's probably more people in the United States as opposed to internationally, just because, you know, I'm sure finances are a little different in Europe than they would be in the United States. So probably, all of my clients have been in the United States. I do, most of my clients have been physicians. Though I'm totally open to having a non-physician client. And basically, my point is just help people to feel good about their finances and about their money, and really help them build what I call a wealthy mindset for a wealthy life. And wealth not necessarily defined by things like net worth, but more defined by how you feel every day. Being able to do the things that you want to do, and feeling like you're doing what you. That these are all the things that you get to do as opposed to have to do. Feeling that you have control and autonomy over your life, and that you're able to, make each day closer to your ideal life. So getting out of that arrival fallacy of like, oh, once I reach, we do it all the time in medicine, once I finish residency, life will be great. Once I finish fellowship, life will be great. Once I'm, attending, life will be great. And then you get there, it's like, oh, I thought life was going to be great now, or once I, get married, life will be great. Once I have children, life will be great. Like, we all do this, but really just realizing like, life is great now, and life may be greater, a year from now or 2 years from now, and what do I really want, and how do I get there? And then, there's the money part of it. It's like, how do I finance that?
Now, that was very well said. Life can be great now, and it can be greater in a year or two. Write that and put that on a t-shirt. That was great. We're, again, with Dr. Lisa Zhang, we're gonna get you, I'm gonna get you. We're gonna get you out of here soon. But I do have one. I'm lying. I have one question that's gonna turn into a two-part question. But the first part is, this we don't really have time to get into everything you've been through. But just maybe highlight one thing since you started this journey that's been like just the best thing that you've experienced personally. And then going forward, what are you looking forward to most, as you continue down this road?
So I think just building this life for myself even. So before I started coaching, I was working full time at a county hospital. I was on call 24/7 as the only oculoplastic specialist. I was denied a 2 week vacation to Europe because, I was asked, well, who would take call if you're gone? And before I had taken the job, I had agreed to do this 24/7 call, but I had asked, like, well, what happens when I'm on vacation? And had been given the answer that, well, we don't have a dedicated person to do oculoplastics calls. So, during your 4 weeks of vacation, we'll figure out coverage. It's better to have 48 weeks of coverage than, and we'll figure out the other 4 weeks, which, sounded reasonable. But of course, once I was there, get it all in writing, make sure it's in the contract. It wasn't the contract that I didn't have to take call or find someone to cover my call for my 4 weeks of vacation. Well, then it became somehow my responsibility now to find someone to cover. I mean, I've literally transformed my life to now I work part-time as a physician. I work on my coaching business, but I travel extensively. And basically every month I'm, somewhere. I went to Antarctica last December, and into January, and that was my seventh continent. Last year I also made it to North Dakota, which was the 50th state. So I've now been to all 50 states. Last year, I went to Iceland in July, and Bora Bora in January, and also, just trips around the United States throughout the year. So completely different life. And just feel like I'm really more living on my own terms and creating what I want.
Wow, man, I couldn't even keep all those places. I might have to listen to that just to be like,
Kudos.
where is she going next? If our listeners out there are saying, wow, how can I get how can I get the Grow Your Wealthy mindset? How can I get that coaching in my life? Where do they need to go? Where can they go and plug in and get that information from you and
My
everything?
website is www.growyourwealthymindset.com, and there you can even set up a consultation call with me. You're always welcome to listen to my cop my to listen to my podcast, the Grow Your Wealthy Mindset podcast. It's on all the major podcasting platforms. I'm on Facebook with my name, my personal name, as well as there's a Grow Your Wealthy Mindset business page as well. And I'm also on Instagram at Grow Your Wealthy Mindset.
Again, thank you, Dr. Elisa. Thank you, Alicia. Frank, I'm Frank, and Relative Currency. We'll see you guys very soon on another episode.
Thank you for listening to Relative Currency. Please subscribe to the podcast on iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, and other major podcast platforms.